You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Fertilizer, farming, Western Sahara, Morocco, and New Zealand. What is it that brings these things together? Last week, you may remember hearing an interview with Sahrawi Resistance spokesperson Tekbe Ahmed Saleh. Tekbe was in New Zealand the past 2 weeks touring the country to try and educate people on her country's situation.
My name is Tekbe Ahmed Saleh. I'm coming from a refugee camp, one of the largest and longest refugee camps in the world. We call it Sahrawi refugee camps. So I'm from Western Sahara. I bet that nobody knows about Western Sahara, so that's why I'm here to talk.
Tekbe was born in one of the longest standing refugee camps in the Western Sahara, formed after Tekbe's country was occupied by Morocco in the 1970s and the Sahrawi people were forced into the desert. Currently, the issue of governance is going through the United Nations, but this has taken years and is not yet resolved. Since 1991, there has been a UN-administered ceasefire that stopped the fighting between the Algerian-backed Polisario Front and the Moroccan government over who should govern the area known as Western Sahara. There is a referendum pending here that the Sahrawi's people are waiting on. In fact, the New Zealand Council of Trade Unions called on the United Nations on Tuesday this week to organise, without further delays, a self-determination referendum for the people of Western Sahara. Furthermore, it called on New Zealand companies to halt imports of phosphates from the occupied areas of Western Sahara until the legal status of the territory is determined and the Sahrawi people are allowed to exercise their inalienable right to self-determination in accordance with relevant UN resolutions and peace plan of 1991. There's that word, phosphate. While in New Zealand, Tekbe spoke of the desperate situation of the refugee camps in the meantime and the link to the New Zealand companies who import phosphate partly extracted from the Western Sahara through Morocco. If you want to hear this full interview, check it out in the BCAS. But back to phosphate. Balance Agri Nutrients and Ravensdown are two companies in New Zealand that provide fertiliser to the country's farmers. Part of the ingredients required to make the fertiliser Balance Agri Nutrients and Ravensdown provide is phosphate. Tekbe indicated that these two companies are two of the last companies and therefore New Zealand is the last country external to Morocco that continue to trade with Morocco despite the governing dispute. After having spoken to Tekbe, I contacted both Ravensdown and Balance Agri Nutrients to find out more. Ravensdown responded with a written statement and more information, so I'll be following up with them on whether they can do an interview and we will deal with their information next week. Their position is ultimately that they are in compliance with the UN framework around dealing with non-self-governing territories. They are acting legally, they say. Balance Agri Nutrients also responded and I managed to conduct an interview with them. Warwick Cato is the Science Strategy Manager at Balance Agri Nutrients, a farmer-owned cooperative that, alongside Ravensdown, provide fertiliser products. Part of Warwick's role as Science Strategy Manager means he is involved in discussions around the Zero Carbon Bill and freshwater policies in order to ensure the company itself is complying with these new legislations, as well as looking to the future and innovative ways of reducing their carbon footprint, for example. Warwick told me that phosphate is one of 14 essential elements that living things use. Calcium phosphate, for example, helps to make bones and teeth. Fertilizer products are necessary in any kind of farming to replace the nutrients and minerals, or the phosphate and sulfur, that are essentially eaten or consumed by animals and plants. Particularly in New Zealand, Warwick said these nutrients are lacking in the soil, and thus the importation of these nutrients and the replacement of the nutrients in soil is necessary. Here, a product called superphosphate is used because the plants need phosphate and sulfur. I had quite a lengthy conversation with Warwick about New Zealand's pastoral farming system, which is fairly distinctive in regards to the rest of the world. So if you are interested in this, you can find it online. It was indeed fascinating, and we spoke about different methods of farming as well as finite resources and the obligation of finding alternatives given the impending environmental crisis. For the show today, though, I will focus on Balance Agri Nutrients' relationship to the Western Sahara. This is Warwick.
So, our understanding of the Western Sahara situation is that it's very complicated. It's been going on for decades, you know. It's reached an impasse between Morocco, Algeria, Polisario, and Mauritania, and it's very complicated. The UN's been trying to resolve it for decades, and essentially New Zealand, through MFAT, I know Jacinda Ardern's been to one of the refugee camps, So they're trying to resolve that situation. It's very complicated, and there's diverging views on it, and it's very, very difficult situation.
And that difficult situation is obviously felt, the most sort of impact is probably being felt by the refugees affected by the situation, right? So it's currently occupied by Morocco, and as part of that invasion, tens of thousands of people were displaced and are now living in refugee camps in the desert, in very desperate conditions. And it's one of the most protracted refugee situations worldwide, like you've just said, it's gone on for a very long time. So just for listeners who might not be aware of that situation, I'm just going to describe what that looks like in terms of refugee camps. So the food and aid supply has declined. Infant mortality is double that of Europe. Water, which is delivered once a month, is limited to 10 litres per day. So that's no running water. They have to ration that. Electricity is sporadic. The land is dry and they only have a few goats, sheep and camels. And then in July, the temperatures are about 43 degrees. So the only shade that they have is tents and mud houses that they've built. The World Food Programme estimates that around 77% of refugees' food comes from international donations which are shrinking over the past several years, and jobs are practically non-existent, and in the absence of employment, boredom and crime and the threat of radicalisation, young people, that's what they're growing up with. There are also accusations of forced disappearances, torture and human rights abuses are rife in the camp. So, I mean, I could go on in that sense, but I'm sure you are aware of this. And I'm wondering how that makes you feel, Warwick.
So our position, or Balance's position, is that the UN is the right place to resolve those issues. It's not something that It's out of scope of what Balance's influence and control is. We recognise the refugee issues. We recognise the impasse that's there. And in our meeting with ministers in Wellington and MFAT and our due diligence, we recognise it needs to be resolved. So agree with what you're saying.
Absolutely. And with respect to UN and the government, I understand that they are doing their jobs as they need to. But as a human, I guess I'm asking how that makes you feel, that these people are living in these conditions.
Well, as a personal view, yeah, I have empathy to what's happening in the air. And my personal view is I wish it would be resolved. And what's happened more recently is the UN is finally getting some traction in terms of resolution, particularly when they changed their annual mandate to a six-monthly mandate. So in 2008, the UN finally got those parties together. They've been in an impasse for probably 7 years to actually start getting some movement and trying to resolve the issue.
So while the UN does do that, again, the UN also on their in their charters, they've got certain principles regarding non-self-governing territories, which would be the Western Sahara in this case. And so I quote from them that the interests of the inhabitants of these territories are paramount, and they accept as a sacred trust the obligation to promote to the utmost within the system of international peace and security the well-being of the inhabitants of these territories. So and there are a number of principles that are regarding actually their sort of social, political and economic circumstances.
That's right. So and the UN guidelines for non-self-governing territories, it's about promoting economic advancement, it's about non-discriminatory work environment, it's about operations being conducted rationally and sustainably. Balance endorses that 100%. And so what we do is we have 40 criteria when we go and visit suppliers that we actually go over there, and in terms of Balance's area of control and influence, we actually audit and do due diligence on that. Our CEO and our board members go over there at least annually. They've been to Western Sahara a number of times to actually see what those impacts are and what those benefits are, and so they actually get exposed. They've seen that firsthand in terms of the development, the community support, environmental initiatives, healthcare. They see that, and the money goes into a non-Moroccan account. It goes into Fosbukra, which is a separate account which runs a foundation which actually delivers that. And so in terms of the ability that we can control, we believe both ethically and legally that we're operating within the UN guidelines in terms of trading. In fact, to the point that earlier this year, European Parliament reduced its tariffs on Western Sahara to specifically encourage trade for the benefits of the local people. And so we support that. And ultimately, we are concerned about the moral and ethical issues that are going on in Western Sahara. We raise that with OCP when we do that. We do our due diligence when we go over there. And our way to reflect change is to make sure our transactions with them deliver those societal outcomes that you've specifically spoken about. The more protracted issues around self-determination, governance, the Polisario, who's a Sahrawi and how self-determination is exercised through the vote that's been an impasse is something that our government needs to deal with and through the United Nations. And we encourage those that work to continue and that activity to carry on.
Right. And I mean, but what has been made clear that by the Sahrawi's people, the refugees whose right to govern their own land has been removed by Morocco, right? And what I'm hearing from them is that they don't want countries to take phosphate from their land while Morocco gets the profit. They don't want this happening while this conflict has not been resolved, essentially. And so you're saying that there is no, or you don't, you know, like New Zealand or the companies here don't have the power to kind of do anything. The power that you do have is not to trade with Morocco.
So we trade with a number of countries, and the reason, and there's some reasons why we trade with Western Sahara and, specifically in terms of the type of rock that they have, and we talked a wee bit about superphosphate earlier, about the need for that. But again, there's very conflicting views, there's very diverging views, as you would have noted when you do some homework on that. And essentially, that's why we have to take our guidance ultimately from MFAT, from the United Nations, in terms of who do we transact with. You know, we transact with Vietnam, with China, with South Africa, with Peru, ranges of countries. In terms of our sphere of influence and control, we have those issues in terms of our purchasing criteria. We do that as part of our due diligence, and to say, are we ultimately having a beneficial footprint in terms of what our purchasing behaviour? And Western Sahara is one of a number of countries where we actually specifically deal with that. We empathise with what you're saying, but it's outside the mandate of our business to actually have a position on that. That's for governmental entities to deal with, and all we can do is keep them briefed on what we're doing, why we've, what our auditing is doing and discovering. So, and that's about the extent of where we're at.
Right. We are essentially the last country, aside from India, who works through the Moroccan company, but we are the last country that is actually taking this phosphate. So I just sort of don't understand why, when the rest of the world is kind of, or has made the statement to stop importing, why wouldn't we want to also be, or to make that statement?
Yeah, and it goes back to that issue, because other countries don't use predominantly superphosphate and have different pastoral systems to us, so that's why they have alternatives.
But in terms of, so going back to what you said, that this issue essentially is outside the mandate of your business, if we are, you know, I just don't really understand why this is not a consideration that in, yes, it's a complicated issue, but the black and white of it is that people are suffering, and ultimately kind of stopping this engagement with that would be making a statement and could possibly, you know, help a UN resolution.
So to probably just wrap up and reinforce the conversation, the issues of self-governance and self-determination and that are outside the balance mandate. That, you know, that's for governments and UN to do that, and we support New Zealand's stance in trying to do that. We have our own self-governing territory in Tokelau, so we have awareness of that here. But the issue for us is, under the UN trading rules, and the UN and Europe also trades with Sahrawi, is, are we meeting the guidelines for doing that, and are we doing that? And we do our due diligence, and we're comfortable both legally and morally that we're doing that, and that the local people are benefiting from that. And
But again, with the UN, right? So the principles that they have under the non-self-governing territories, B, right, says to develop self-government, to take due account of the political aspirations of the peoples, and to assist them in the progressive development of their free political institutions.
That's right.
That this is also standing in the way of that, isn't it?
Well, that's an opinion. That's a valid view, but ultimately, there's very divergent views around that, and there's balance's ability to influence us through our procurement strategy in terms of the UN guidelines, and that's about promoting economic development, non-discriminatory work, operational stuff, and we actually go there and do our due diligence to show that we are benefiting the local people. And Marco and our CEO and our board members have been over there numerous times doing that to see that that is the outcome. And so we have Sarawai people that actually welcome our trade and doing that, but ultimately we have to do our own due diligence, and we've done that, and we believe that it supports ongoing trade. And the EU moves earlier this year back that up in terms of they are equally doing that.
But your influence, like you say, is not in the UN. Your influence is with your money that you're giving to a particular entity. So if you stopped that, is that something that Balance would ever consider?
So we do our due diligence, and when we look at it, we see that the benefits are appropriate.
For New Zealand, though, right? We are the ones that are benefiting from this.
No, the local people are, and so ultimately that's what Mark.
In what way?
And the board do that. Well, we go and see the new schools. We see the reclamation work the dairy farms are doing, the educational, the universities they're building. We've seen that. We've been over firsthand and seeing what they're doing there, and that's it. And so that's. The due diligence the pure procurement team do when they do that, and they are comfortable with that position, and that's why we continue to trade with them.
That was Warwick Catto from Balance Agri Nutrients. Next week, I hope to have a spokesperson from Ravensdown to further this discussion and understand more how these companies are engaging with the local community. I would like to note that today it was reported by RNZ that a government official for Western Sahara has stated they are close to initiating court action against New Zealand. Kamal Fadel is the Australia and New Zealand representative for Polisario, the United Nations recognised independence movement for Western Sahara. Fadel says the Moroccan occupation of Western Sahara was internationally disagreed with, and New Zealand's purchase of phosphate from them was at odds with this. I quote, "At the moment, New Zealand companies are part of the problem, not the solution, because their involvement provides money to the Moroccans to buy arms and tools to oppress our people. It gives them moral support that they have a right to be in Western Sahara, which they don't have. It's a de facto recognition of Morocco's involvement." End quote. More on this next week.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.